In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. And I thank our producer, Rick Scully. He's going to be with us again this evening. He's always with us. With our subjects, it'll be an interesting discussion that we have. But most of all, I'd like to thank you folks for joining us because you are among the smartest people on the planet, looking for biblical answers to what we're seeing going on the planet today. And for that, give yourselves a round of applause. That's a great thing because it shows insight on where we live, where we are in this stream of time. And it's only going to become more interesting. As most people know, our gas prices continue to rise. And from what I understand, sometime tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow night, Trump's going to start bombing Iran again. And this is interesting because for this whole time of this peace situation, ceasefire, Iran has had a daily flight, at least one daily flight to different parts of China, getting parts and its munitions that it needs. Get ready for the drone wars. They also may have hypersonic missiles. We'll see what happens. So it'll be most interesting as Trump goes in and does what he has to do. Now, hey, maybe Space Force has been tracking all of this. I'm sure they have. And maybe they know where it all is. Oh. What a concept. And so we'll see what happens. And so get ready. We're going to go hot, and that means your gas prices are going to go up. And it's a whole trickle-down effect because where it's really starting to hurt, and it's going to hurt continuously, and that's in the jet fuel and the diesel fuel and your home heating fuel. Yeah, everybody's taking a shot on this one. And I knew it was coming. I figured, okay, gas probably going to go up to about $10 a gallon. And, you know, we'll see what they do because Trump's going to have to pull a rabbit out of his hat if that happens. He's going to stop America dead in its tracks. But the business of America is doing business, and so I don't think we'll see that happen. And I'm thinking that I have faith based on scripture that he knows what the hell he's doing. But we've entered part of this judgment period, and so we live in most difficult of times. We are headed for a cosmic collision. And it's a cosmic collision against spiritual forces in unseen heavenly places that are controlling this planet and our liberation. And it's going to happen in basically two stages. And what we're seeing right now is the first stage before true liberation. And that is the rise of the Eighth King, which we'll get into in a minute. But I want to touch another subject. And this is kind of a follow-up from last week's show and earlier things that I've said. And Rascal, this is where I'd like to have your input. I just want to go back and visit the whole situation with David Wilcox. And, you know, God rest his soul. Gave one situation last week where, you know, if indeed he did go into some sort of ketopsychosis, if you want to call it that, where his body just went chemically off the rails, that could have caused a psychotic condition. And I've gathered more, we'll say, interesting information, at least from people who claim to have a good handle on it. It was a series of events that brought us to, or brought David to the situation in which he decided to take his own life. And it ties into something that I said last week, but I didn't realize how much it actually tied in. And that's where David started seem to be going off the rails. And, you know, it started with him getting mixed up with this guy Duke and Benjamin Fulford. And next thing you know, he's on Kerry Cassidy's show crying his eyes out like a little girl. And then, you know, it seemed like, okay, now he's hooked up with Corey Good, the advocate of blue chicken people, jump rooms and all sorts of things that were most interesting. And basically, Corey Good did a psyops operation on David Wilcox. And he was the quintessential eye predator. But he became, from what I understand, he's got a very narcissistic, he is narcissistic and possibly psychotic, you know, that narcissistic. And, you know, when he says something, I guess he expects everybody to believe him because you can't question him. But Cliff High, and a lot of people know Cliff High, some people don't. I've been listening to Cliff High off and on ever since I found out that he invented the web bot, which predicted the 2001 9/11 situation with the World Trade Towers. What the web bot was designed to do is go gather information, mostly on the stock market, but it was coming back with what people were saying, and it was all directed to the World Trade Center and some event on or about 9/11. And so if you had a computer program that can turn around and pick up on everybody's mind and thoughts on a sub, you know, we are a hive mind people. And that's provable. When we are sleeping and we go into the state of theta, we can literally know each other's thoughts, not just read each other's minds, know each other's thoughts. Think about that. And we have that same capability back to our creator, who, you know, keeps our consciousness intact after our bodies give out. So, yes, we are part of a much larger hive mind. And once you start exercising comprehension and understanding in that hive mind is also interdimensional and extraterrestrial. Alien, if you want to call it that. But anyway, getting back to David Wilcox, because that's where David Wilcox, you know, kind of made his living, in the UFO extraterrestrial arena. And I don't begrudge him his successes, but Corey Good seems to have manipulated his life. And David, when Cliff Hyre was talking to me, he said about a year ago or so, he was trying to explain to him that Corey Good was in good association. Cliff High was involved in a lawsuit with Corey Good, and Cliff High won. And Corey Good had to retract a lot of the things that he said. So basically, Corey Good is a psychopathic liar. And or a narcissistic liar. But isn't that what narcissists do? But Cliff said another thing. He said the UFO community, in his opinion, is run about 10% of those people in the UFO community are narcissistic psychopaths. But they don't care who they hurt or who what they step on or what they spiel, which is quite interesting if that's the case. And these people control about 40% of the narrative. So think about that. Now, what connections and what jobs those 40 people and what agencies they're working for is another total different question. But my point is that they are putting out a false narrative. Come on, blue chicken people. Oh, well, it's possible. Yeah, I kind of doubt it, but hey. I guess in some dimension, somewhere across the entire multiverse, maybe. But they're not from this dimension in which we live, or the series of dimensions in which we live. But anyway, so what it appears to have happened is Corey Good manipulated David Wilcox in this one conversation that Cliff High with him. He said, Cliff High said in about a minute's time, David Wilcox mentioned Corey Good about 8 times. Really? Okay. So, you know, I have to question here at this point, did David Wilcox have Corey Good Stockholm Syndrome? Riscola, chime in here. You know, this is an interesting thing, which is spun and has really not a, it's part of tonight's show, but it's something that we need to take a look at, and that's the information that's being fed to us. What are your thoughts?
Sadly, I've only listened to, I'm trying to think of how many times, probably a dozen times I've listened to him, and I always got like a good feeling. I didn't think he was really a bad guy or a liar or anything, but I don't know anything about the Corey. I don't know. I don't even know who you're talking about, really. So it kind of leaves me in the dark. I apologize, but I just, you know, I'd rather just tell you what I know and what I don't know. And if I don't know, I can't tell you.
No, well, hey, if you don't know, you can't mention it, but you are familiar with David Wilcox, and yeah, you're familiar with the Cliff High to an extent. And, you know, I don't know where Corey Good came in from, but he was supposed to be a super soldier that David Wilcox met, maybe at, you know, a MUFON convention. I honestly don't know.
Now that you mention, I think I've heard that. Okay, I think I know who you're talking about now. Now that you mentioned the super soldier thing, I think I can put a face to it.
Yeah, okay. They were on Kerry Cassidy's show several times, and Corey Good was on there by himself several times, and they, you know, Corey Good became the flavor of the year, basically. And whatever Corey Good, because he was telling these things which are like borderline believable. You know, it's like today advance it, you know, think of Star Trek and Scotty, beam me up. There's no intelligent life down here. You know? He was talking about a jump room between the United States, between the U.S. somewhere, you know, some secret space location, Area 50, who the hell knows. But he was saying that they could actually beam people up to Mars. They had the technology. And I'm like, they already have particle beam technology that could do that? And allegedly, it was, you know, it's like this wasn't the first time that I heard this, but, you know, this is just another mention of it. The first person that I heard mention it was Andrew DiBisaggio when he decided to run for president of the United States and The same year he was running against Trump, he would have been running against Trump. But prior to that, he had talked about the jump room and the stories that go with that. And I'm like, okay, come on. This is like, I comprehend some of the reasons that you've gone, but now you're into this jump room. And so you take everything with a grain of salt. We have to have discernment. Okay, do they or don't they have the technology to do that? Well, interdimensionals do. I don't know about the physical dimension of humans. Can they separate it? Can they turn us into an energy beam and send us to someplace else? I don't know, but I don't want to be the first one to take the ride, that's for sure. Have your particles scattered among the universe.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'll pass on that nonsense. So, you know, he was coming out with all these different stories and, you know, super soldier. Okay, so you're genetically engineered? Now, keep him. Do you remember the I don't know, did you ever see the movie, was it Incredible Gentlemen or no, that wasn't it. The Matt Damon was in it, Sean Connery, and they were fighting some evil force like from in between the World War One and World War Two.
No.
The League of Incredible Gentlemen or something like that. But anyway, the what seemed to be like a Nazi army was trying to put together a serum where they could make super soldiers. This is a good movie. I mean, it had some pretty good actors in it. And what makes a good movie? Good actors. Where have we heard that before? I'll bring that up again later. But the whole idea of genetically enhanced soldiers, super soldiers, isn't a new idea. And with what they know about DNA now, hello, cloned armies. And that could be very possible based on how they can manipulate genetics. Yeah, this show isn't about genetics, though. But they can manipulate them. Hello, anybody take a shot? mRNA, anyone? That's genetic manipulation. And so could they do that on a military level? I don't see why not. The cloned armies. Yeah, you know, they tell us what they're going to do in movies. And I remember correctly, that was one of the Star Trek, you know, all those guys in the white suits were all cloned after he's actually if you get his name, but he's kind of like one of the bad guys in the movie. But anyway, he's the assassin. But yeah, why did they tell us? And it's interesting, we're in an ultimate fight with an evil empire. And we win. So, something to think about. But getting back to David Wilcock, Corey Good evidently, David Wilcock went through a lot of loss. He got divorced. He lost his house in California. He wound up moving on top of, according to Cliff, someplace in Boulder County, Colorado, out in the middle of nowhere. He made an investment into a company, which was a scam investment. And Cliff said that David lost well over $1 million in that investment. And Corey Good had this track history of isolating David Wilcox. And David is somebody that you can't isolate. He thrives on being in the crowd, being on TV, being on some program that he's part of. He's not somebody that, you can turn around and, stick out in the middle of nowhere and not expect to have a good result. Or could expect to have a bad result. It's isolationism. And, you know, it's interesting. That's the life I chose. But if you don't choose it, and you're thrust into it, and you're somebody who's gregarious and has to be around other people all the time, that alone can do psychological damage. Plus maybe getting a call where he breaks down and he cries, and he sees no hope, and he's chemically, he's got a chemical imbalance going in. You know, David, rest in peace, because it doesn't appear that you had it in your final days. And so, you know, I would like to say, everyone beware. Question everything. Everything that you look at, everything that you see, everything that we hear, question it all. There's one thing that does not exist on, there's no podcast police. And it's interesting, most people that listen to a podcast will, you know, take that as legitimate information. Or is it legitimate disinformation? So, how do you know what to look for? I rely on the biblical prophecies. And Revelation is the time in which we are in. And so, you know, I would say at this point, anybody who is making money off of David Wilcox passing really stinks. Let the man rest in peace, and let the rest of us look on to the future, because we have a future that we have to be prepared for. You know, Jesus himself said that we would be facing difficult times, hard to deal with, and that we would see nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is in Matthew, the 24th chapter. His disciples said, what are we going to see when you come, you know, when you return? What'll be the signs of your return? And so Jesus goes, the whole 24th chapter of signs. There would be earthquakes one place after another. Food shortages. I would recommend everybody to grow a little victory garden this year. Seriously. Start practicing. Grow yourself a garden. During the Second World War, people were encouraged to grow at least some tomatoes in their backyard, but they were encouraged to turn their backyard into a victory garden because they needed the crops to send to millions of troops fighting around the planet. We're in the middle of a war. We're not now. Think about it. So seriously, based on history, it would be a good idea to grow a victory garden. Because in times of war, food is going to take a hit. You see the gas and oil prices going up. It's going to cost more to get the produce to market. Jet fuel is becoming a premium in some parts of the world. Way out costing diesel and gasoline. Maybe they'll reduce the amount of chemtrail fleet that's up in the air. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? But produce is going to follow gasoline and diesel fuel. And then the question is, when does the diesel fuel become too expensive for trucking companies to stay in business? And when do you start to have the supply lines break down? We might see some of that coming up in the next several months. And I'm not trying to become a fearmonger. I'm looking at the reality of the situation and what's going on with Iran, but the bigger picture of what's going on with the rest of the governments within the world, knowing what Bible prophecy says and knowing what the possibilities are and what the reality may be. So, you know, stock up on essentials now because it's only going to become more expensive. Some things will go up dramatically, other things won't. But it's all going to go up because of delivery costs. You know, unless you own the cow, you're paying somebody to milk that cow, process the milk, get it, drive it to the grocery store, and then, or the distributor, and then to the grocery store or the supermarket, and then you got to go get it if it's available. So grow a victory garden. Learn to start, you know, gardening. That would be my recommendation. If you can, if your town allows it, you kind of have to check the town ordinance, go get some chickens. You know, it'll take a little bit to raise them, but in about 6 months, you'll have some great eggs. And at least you'll be able to eat eggs. If you live in the city, you're kind of at the mercy of the city. And so, you know, hey, maybe it's buying extra sardines, you know, cans of sardines and rice and beans. Strange combination, but it'll keep you going. So be prepared. Be prepared. You see it's there. You see the price is rising. We're in a war. We're in a war with more than Iran. We're in a war with the cabal. And the eighth king will come to power and will put down the cabal. It'll bring down religion. It'll bring down religion. But it's interesting. If anybody's paid attention to the latest king to come to the United States, King Charles was here. And I was kind of curious about the pomp and circumstance. But what became obvious, and Rascal, can you put up our first picture? What seemed to become obvious is that we may have been looking at King Charles in title only, but who are the real king and queen here? You know, there were some very interesting memes that came out from this meeting. And I thought it quite interesting that when they did their White House celebration, I guess is it the Rose Garden there, wherever they were holding this event, it was all lined with Continental soldiers in uniform.
Wow. Peter, yes, the name Maggie gave you the name of the movie. It's called The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Gentlemen, there you go. Thank you, Maggie. The League of... Yeah.
Now, regarding the picture, what, you want me to put the king and queen up?
Yes, please.
There we go.
The king and queen of England and maybe the rest of the planet. And it's interesting that... it was brought up that Trump and Charles are cousins.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, from the Scottish. You have to go back to King James, I think it was, of Scotland. It comes from the Stuart, you know, we got Mary Queen of Scots. I believe it was Mary Stuart. So it was the Stuart family that actually Trump descended from. And that would make sense because his mother was Scottish. And what's also interesting is that Melania may be a relative of the Romanov family, a cousin. Interesting, huh? And so you've got both Melania and Donald with, quote, royal blood. The king. Interesting. The queen. Now, this is just a meme, but I didn't put it up. And I didn't trace the lineage either. But it was most interesting that they actually brought that out, is that they're cousins. So how about that? So go ahead.
I was going to mention that I thought Trump was the only one in the succession of presidents of the United States that didn't come from the original bloodline. Even Obama came from the original. Is that right? So he was the only one. All of the presidents came from an original bloodline.
Martin Van Buren and shucks, there was one other one. Martin Van Buren, and I thought Donald Trump until this came out.
So that information may not have been right then. But according, I saw a video where this.
Trump actually posted that on his X account, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, if he stuck it there, that now, did he know he was? Yeah, he probably knew. You know, it's interesting how these things work out over time because you're dealing with people who follow lineage, and the church followed everybody's lineage. You know, when a baby was born, it went to you took it to the church. The baby was named. The birth was recorded, or its baptism date was recorded, and people used a family Bible for everybody who you know was born into the family. After the Reformation, the recording of births wasn't done. The reformists didn't have those babies weren't as accurately recorded, and they certainly weren't recorded by the church. You know, they took them. So they were early on. They were at war with the church. But go back to the Anglican Church, which is the Church of England, and I don't know whether. It pretty much follows the Catholic Church, except for, yeah, you can divorce your wife. You're welcome, Henry. So, you know, it's religion again. It always, regardless, no matter which side you're looking at, it all comes down to who is being controlled by religion. That was one of the things that the United States was founded on. Well, we want a president. We already got a king, you know. But we want to be independent from that king. Yeah, he's still going to own us. But at least we'll feel independent. We'll start our own country. And pretty much I'd rather be owned by the king as opposed to being owned by the Crown Corporation or by the Vatican Corporation. You see, that's the reality of the situation. Up until Trump, you know, the United States being ruled from Washington, D.C. as the United States of America Incorporated. We're now part of the three independent city states, the first being the Vatican, the second being the city of London, which was incorporated, was the old Roman city back in the 600s, and it remained an independent city. And so it became a city-state of Rome. And it's remained that, basically. And now it's the seat of the financial situation with all the central banks that Trump is trying to bring down. So it's part of the old regime that's being torn down. And so, I should have grabbed one of the pictures of Trump in the royal carriage when he went over to Windsor Castle. But I didn't, so sorry about that. You can look it up on the internet. But if you watch the news, Trump was the first person who wasn't a royal to ride in the royal coach. Or was he a royal? And he was making a statement. You know, he reviewed his troops twice. Once with the queen and once with the king. Riscala, if you put up the next picture, believe it's the beekeeping picture, which I thought was interesting. You know, we'll put up a couple of them. But did we see Trump become the new king of England? Was that a coronation of sorts? Because I thought it was interesting when Trump was, giving his remarks about the king being here. Trump called him out as being part of central casting. Did you see that?
I hear it all the time. I don't know what to believe anymore. It's crazy.
No, but yeah, Trump said he looked great. He looked great. He said central casting. Yeah. It's like, what?
I found a picture of him in the royal carriage.
Oh, there you go. Great. Oh, there he is. There he is.
You want the one where the bee is in his hand?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah, that one. Now the interesting thing about this picture is that it was a tradition. Queen Elizabeth had bees, and she had a beekeeper. And it was handed down kind of like generation to generation. And whenever the last monarch died, when Queen Elizabeth died, the beekeeper would literally tell the bees. And then the bees would get a new king. And he would tell the bees that. Well, here's Trump holding it with a bee in his hand. And the bee doesn't seem to be the least bit alarmed. Well, could that be because Trump's the new king? Interesting symbology going on here. And, everybody, including Melania, they're just looking. Trump's looking at the bee, and he's got him in his hand. And what's interesting, if you look at what Melania is wearing, the dress that Melania is wearing is the same dress that she wore last year at Flag Day. And the interesting thing is, now there's a correlation. She's wearing the same dress here at a state visit. But what happened on Flag Day? Flag Day, we saw Melania and the President Trump standing at the podium. And initially, they were standing side by side, and Trump whispered something in Melania's ear. And she went and stood in front of him, slightly off to the side. And at that time, one of the Golden Knights came in with the flag that was in free fall over the Capitol. And he presented that to Trump. So let's see. When Melania moved in front of Trump, was that Queen protects Trump, Queen protects King, checkmate? Because we see the same dress here, and Trump's holding a B, the new king. Well, Charles is only from Central Casting. Come on now. Let's look at the symbology that's going on. Harris Gullah, put up that next picture. And I thought this was cute. This is just a meme. But the close-up of the bee. That's it. If you can see, what's the bee got on his head? It's a little MAGA hat. Isn't that cute? Yeah. So, interesting. Interesting. It's in a MAGA. It's got a little MAGA hat on. But now, let's skip that. Let's go back to the picture that you just put up there, the beekeeper. Nope, that ain't it. That was the pirate. There we go, the beekeeper. Trump as the beekeeper. Now, the beekeeper, Trump put this actually on his ex account. That he was, but it's a reference to a movie, The Beekeeper. What makes a movie good? Good actors.
I just thought of something. Maybe you have heard. I don't know if you've heard or not, but Israel is being swarmed by bees.
Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Please tell.
I'll see if I can find the post. But yeah, there was a post up where several posts up where people were reporting swarms of bees all over Israel.
That's amazing. And so here you got the beekeeper, and there's a swarm of bees around him. The interesting thing is the movie, The Beekeeper, was about this guy. And I didn't see the movie. I'm just, from what I can gather of the movie, he was part of a secret organization known as the Beekeepers, which protected the hive. And so, you know, he was part of this super secret organization. Within the government that protected the hive. Is that like Space Force? Different dimension. You know, beekeepers, white hats, they're the heroes, at least, you know, in this situation. And so, you know, to a lot of people, Trump is a hero. A little bit confused right now, you know. Somebody saying no new wars. I think others are, especially, you know, the bigger podcasters. I don't know. I think they're compromised. I've heard a lot of different stories on people who shifted gears, Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and a few others. The name Soros came up in the same conversation, and Soros usually means some sort of money amount. So who knows? We live in very interesting times, and one of the things, and we're going to cover this more in a future show, what we are seeing is this Ace King come to power. And Yeah, I see you changed the picture up there. That is the swarm. This is Israel?
Correct.
Interesting. Must have had a bumper crop of queen bees. I guess this is the time that they would normally swarm over there, but yeah, if there is swarming crazy, and maybe the beekeepers over there got their bees, their bees destroyed, or their hives destroyed, and now you got, wild bees turning wild all over the place. I don't know. It's an asset, in my opinion. I'd like to see bees grow. The more bees, the better. They keep the world fed. So we have to pay attention to everything, not just take it for face value. But as we see this eighth king rise, we are also going to see the end of Babylon the Great. What is Babylon the Great? Basically, world religion. This country was founded upon Christianity. But the reason for the president is that presidents, a country that has presidents, they had a separation of church and state. And so it was a government. It wasn't a monarchy. And so they wanted to keep the religion out of politics because religion creates kings. Interesting. We've got symbolically, if not literally, an eighth king. What religion is backing Trump? Could it be God himself? We'll see. We'll see. Because as this goes forward, he's taking down the controlling aspects of the satanic cabal that has captured planet Earth. That's actually a better way of putting it. They've captured planet Earth mostly through the monetary system. And so, once you start, you have to use the monetary system against them. You have to cause them pain, cut off their supply of easy money, make them reach into their pockets if they want to keep it going. And then once they reach into their pockets, their assets can now be seized. So there's some pretty deep pockets that are going to be reached into. But Babylon the Great, as I said, we'll do another show dealing more specifically with Babylon the Great. It takes up a whole chapter within Revelation, and a significant portion of chapter 17 involves Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great is the religious empire which has controlled the kings literally since ancient Babylon, the city of Babel, back under the reign of Nimrod and Semiramis. And that's where it actually starts, three generations after the flood. Now, the interesting thing at this point, and it's really, Ruscullo, 10, 15, 20 years ago, more so 15 years ago, already it started 10 years ago, it was difficult to find the information. But 20 years ago, you turn around and find this information under the history of ancient Babylon or Samaria, more exact, and the history of Nimrod. And
I wonder how much of that is going to start coming out. I just read an article yesterday. Again, this is, I can't confirm it, but according to the article, Putin is releasing information about Tartaria.
I had heard that earlier in the week, maybe the end of last week, and I was like, let's see how this works out, because Tartaria, I don't know a whole lot about Tartaria. I don't either,
but from what I have learned about it, it seemed to be a society of very well advanced technologies, but organic in the sense that what they were doing was not full of pollution, I guess is the best way to put it. They had technology that would move them around from one place to another, but there were non-polluting technologies. The same thing with the energy that they were producing was non-polluting energy as well. And it wasn't nuclear. It was, again, if they had nuclear, that would be polluting because you got to get rid of the nuclear. You have nuclear waste in the end result. So all the technologies they had were organic in the sense that they worked with the planet, and their building designs were amazing. I mean, if what I've read is true, it's just there's a building that somebody took a video of. I wish I could remember what country it was in. I don't think anybody could build that building today. I really don't. And this was supposed to be built hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, I saw a picture of the tallest church in the world, or the tallest cathedral. It's in Spain, and I'm looking at the height of this thing, and I'm like,
that might be what I saw.
How the heck did they get all the way the heck up there?
That may be what I saw.
That they had to have some unbelievable scaffolding, and then to move all that stone that high, where did that technology come from? Knights Templar, Freemasons,
maybe even more advanced than that, Peter.
No doubt, because we're talking, you know, when did Tartaria come into existence? We don't know exactly. And don't know exactly when it went out of existence. A little over, 150 years ago? Is that what they say, Riscala?
Yeah, roughly. Between 1 and 200, yeah.
And so how do you lose a whole civilization?
Good question.
You know, yeah. You know, this would have been before the time... Well, this would have been... during the rule of Peter the Great, Peter the Great is given a lot of credit for transforming Russia, but Tartaria would have had already been established. So, you know, what took Tartaria out? Maggie makes reference to the movie, what is it, See You in St. Louis? Where they go to the 1890 World's Fair, and the whole fair is lit up with electric. Yeah,
there was a lot of people throughout the years that have brought what we call electricity, non-polluting electricity. One guy, I'm trying to think of his Ray Moray or Moran or something like that. He was back in the 30s, the mid-30s and the early 40s. He was at one of these fairs and introduced his technology. Scientists from around the world came and verified what he had wasn't fake. It wasn't some kind of a fraudulent thing. It was for real. And he called it atmospheric generator. This thing just like absorbed electrons out of the air and then transmitted them through wires, and he lit up a whole bunch of stuff. And he's not the only one. There are many others who have come up with what we would call a fuel-less generator. All of the information, what happens when somebody comes up with something like this, the first thing they want to do naturally, I want to go patent this thing so somebody else can't copy all of my work. The problem with that is they think by going to the government is a neutral party. The government is not a neutral party. If you come to them with something that could, for example, change the mileage of a vehicle. There are many patents on, before the vehicles were fuel injected, carbureted, there are many patents, at least four that I can think of, that increased the mileage from, and even back then, this is another crazy thing, but even back then cars were getting 15 to 18 miles to a gallon, and they were changing that from 18 to sometimes 50, 60, 100 miles to the gallon, depending upon the car, the number of cylinders, and so forth. But the change was drastic. And even though it would have helped everybody, it doesn't help the government. The government makes money off of every gallon of gas that we buy. So when you come to them and you say to them, look, I've got this thing, it's non-polluting, it's going to save you guys thinking you're going to save the government money because they have to buy all this fuel for all their, you know, between all the vehicles that they have, all the boats that they have, everything. And then you think you're going to save their money. And in fact, what you're doing, you don't realize it, you're threatening them. And the result is they won't deal with that threat. They'll either buy you out, put you in jail, or they'll kill you, which is what they did to a man by the name of Stanley Myers. So what I see happening today, Peter, we may run a couple of minutes over it. It's okay. What I see happening today is very similar to what happened in the mid-70s, where the Saudi Arabia got mad at America and decided that they were going to embargo the oil. There was an oil shortage. The price of gas shot up like crazy. It went absolutely nuts because people were now standing in line. Gas was being rationed. You could only buy 5 gallons of gas at a time. People were waiting upwards of an hour or so before they could get gas. I was very fortunate. I was still in the service when all of that was going down, and the military bases have their own gas stations on base, so we didn't have to deal with any of that. But all the civilians at the time, it was a nightmare for them because they had to stand in line and they were limited to 5 gallons. And it was people brought a gas container with them, hoping they could get more. Nope, you get 5, that's it. On to the next person. I see us headed in that direction. If this man doesn't put a stop to what's going on, this is where we're headed. Already upwards of over $4 a gallon where I'm at. Overnight, 75 cents a gallon. Overnight. It went up 75 cents a gallon.
Yep. And absolutely. I noticed that same thing when I was out earlier today. I was like, holy moly. I thought it was holding steady, and then all of a sudden it just jumped. I was like, well, I expected it to hit $5 a gallon, and I said 10 might be a possibility, but I expect it to hit $5 a gallon.
It's just not out of me.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying Trump's got all the solutions. However, we do enter a time of peace and security, but it's getting there. It's getting to that. It's like, okay, you guys come up for a breather now. That's why I said, if you don't have a little garden, grow a victory garden this year. Get yourself a couple chickens, you know. At least there'll be something there if things don't improve. You go back to the 1929 when the stock market crashed. You still had people strolling the streets, except they were strolling the streets to go to soup kitchens. We may see things like that. Maybe not this time around, because keep in mind, the business of America is doing business, but there's a fight against this cabal that has been ruling America for the last 113 years. Through the financial system.
The bloodline? The bloodline that we call the cabal or the Illuminati or whatever, they go all the way back to before the days of Christ.
Hey, well, that's where I was going with ancient Babylon, because that's where it goes back to. And so, yeah, I guess we're going to cover that in next week's show, but unless something comes up between now and then, which needs attention. But hey, seriously, lay supplies in. It ain't going to get any cheaper. Trust me. It ain't going to get any cheaper.
I'm telling you, this is where I see us going. You're old enough to remember that, all that insanity that went on in the mid-70s when all that nonsense went down.
Yeah, I just got my driver's license.
we're headed right in this. It's just so parallel. It just upsets me to no end, again, because the knowledge is there, the technology is there, we don't need gasoline, but the people are so greedy who provide this, they think that, well, you know, if they stop using gasoline, that's the end of oil. That's baloney. There are so many, just about everything in our life is somewhat related to oil. If it's not shampoo or soap or pharmaceuticals or God, so many things, it's just... okay, so we don't use gas anymore. How much is that going to hurt them? You know, it's going to be a sting for them, but that you really can't hurt these people with the way the system's set up. Inevitably, even if all the people stop using gasoline, what we call gasoline, they would still be as rich as more richer than anyone else on the planet, because they're the only people we get the oil from. The people who have to process it, the people who have to, you know, dig for it and drill for it. That's what we're paying for. We're paying for that. And if you remove that, this is why they keep gasoline the way that it is, because again, the government makes money on it. Everybody who handles it makes money on it. If we went to water, who would make water? I mean, who would make money on that? You could go where I live. I have the Lake Erie within 5 minutes of me. If I wanted to go fill up, I could go to Lake Erie and fill my car up. It wouldn't cost me a penny.
A little cold fusion generator in the back and a battery bank, and you wouldn't even have to go to the lake. You'd be good for the next 20 years.
That's just one piece of technology, Peter. There's other technologies that are available that I'm absolutely certain would be so helpful to the average person because of this insanity. We are so dependent on gasoline. We have, energy itself. So everything's going to go up, like you said earlier. Everything's related to oil. So our groceries are going to go up. Our power bills are going to go up. Naturally, the gasoline's going to go up. There is nothing that I'm aware of, nothing that is not hauled by a truck at some sort, at some degree of delivery. A truck is involved to get it from some point to another. The cost of that's going to go up. Nobody wins in this thing. Nobody. And it was, to me, it was a choice that we didn't need to make. We had Assistant Chief of Intelligence, if I'm not mistaken, was the title. Joe Kent, I think is the man's name, came out and said he could no longer honestly retain his position where he was, because if we went to war, it would go against his I can't think of the right word he said, what he believes in, because his intelligence says they are not a threat to us. Who were they a threat to? They were a threat to Israel. So now we're going to fight for Israel at this point, because that's pretty evident. This war is not a war for America. America loses its ass on this war. We're already trillions of dollars in the debt already. And we're a month and a half in already trillions of dollars. Where's all that money going? We launch missiles after missiles, each missile worth millions of dollars, like they're candy, just handing them out right, left, and center. Meanwhile, Israel is committing genocide openly before the whole world. Now they're bombing Lebanon. They just bombed a church in Lebanon. I can't remember the city in Lebanon. There's a picture of an IDF soldier with a statue of Christ that has been taken down, and he's smashing the head of the statue of Christ with a sledgehammer. These are the people that we're defending. These are the people that we constantly give priority to in this country. The same people that representatives of ours say we need to give Israel more attention. We give them money every year, hundreds of billions of dollars every year. That money that we give to them, they use to buy weapons. And the weapons that they use to literally kill children that are in Gaza. They have committed genocide before the world. And finally, the world is waking up. Thank you, God. I appreciate that, because I'm sick and tired of watching it.
Riscal, the same thing has happened in Ukraine. And I don't mind going a little bit over, because we're on a roll here, and this is applicable.
I know your story is Ukraine, because you were Ukraine, and
I lived there. I made a lot of friends there. I like those people. They're a very friendly group of people. The best Saturday night to be had is in Ukraine. If you ever watched the movie Air America, that was one of the lines there. It was a search for the best Saturday night in the world. Well, yeah, I think it's in Kiev. Because the people at that time were very happy, very communicative. They were looking for a good, you know, they wanted to have a good time. They wanted to enjoy themselves. Didn't have to be sophisticated.
This is what's sad, is people like you and me see this going on. It's not the freaking people. It's the administrations that are running everything that are causing the problems. The same thing in Israel. When I said to a couple of friends of mine that I was anti-Israel. Oh my God, you're an anti-Semite. No, I got relatives that are Jewish. No, that doesn't work for me. What I'm anti-Israel is anti-administration. The people there, the real Jews, the people who are truly Jews, want peace. Not only do they want peace, they want to live with other religions. They don't have, oh, your religion is not my religion, then, you know, you and I can't even be friends. That's a bunch of crap. The real Jews reach out to everybody else in an attempt to convert them to Judaism. Those are the real Jews. What we have is Zionists that are running the show, and they're literally psychopaths, killing people right, left, and center every day. Yesterday, I think it was well over 48 people when Israel bombed a school in Lebanon. So this is ongoing. You know, I know this is ongoing in Ukraine. The worst part about it is it's not the people are the ones who suffer the most. The innocent people who, they don't want this war. The people in Iran, I can tell you from videos that I have watched, the last one was 2 years ago. A young lady from the United States went and visited Iran. Want to see what's going on. She went there. Now, she's an American. She's not wearing a hijab. She's not wearing anything over her head. She was walking up and down the streets. She was noticing other people the same way. When she stopped and talked to some of them, she said, oh, I thought you were forced to wear that. No, that's voluntary. If you feel led by God that you want to cover your head, then you cover your head. If not, then you don't have to worry about it. So this lady was walking in malls and stuff like that. And one of the posts said, well, of course, if you're going to go to a place where they have people visiting, they're not going to show you how strict they are. Oh, give me a break. You think that if you went to North Korea, they're going to put a special place up just for visitors? You know, that's not the same as everywhere else? No, not true. So what's happening around the world is there's an awakening going on, which I thank God, finally, watching decades of this going on. We need to get away from Israel. Israel is the cancer of the Middle East. And when, again, I just want to be clear so people don't start calling me an anti-Semite. I'm probably more Semite than a lot of them anyway. I'm talking about the administration. I'm talking about the government. I'm talking about the psychopaths who tell their soldiers to literally shoot children as they're trying to get water or food and make sure that you shoot them in the head or the heart. We don't want them getting back out. And they boast about this. That's what I'm after. That's the people that I don't agree with. That's what I want wiped off the face of the planet. That whole mentality, oh, God gave us, and we have every right to do what we're doing. And I think it's the Talmud. I don't think it's the Torah. I think it's the Talmud.
No, it's the Talmud.
Is that the one where they say Goyim? Everybody's a Goyim. And
that's
we can do
the one from ancient Babylon. That's one from Babylon.
Well that's the people believe this garbage.
Yeah, and it's another death cult. And so here's the interesting thing, Riscala, and I, you know, amen to everything that you said. No argument there. You had a death cult with Iran. There's a death cult in Israel. And we talked about this a couple of shows ago. What we are seeing, one of the first targets was the Ayatollah. And then mullahs.
Yep.
That was a judgment against a religious class of people who are running a death cult. And it's not just Peter. There; it's what they spread throughout, you know, throughout different places around the world in Christian countries. Plano, Texas. It's a whole group that's practicing. The Plano, Texas was taken over by a group that practices Sharia law.
Yeah, they got shut down.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
wait a minute. Let's back up a second, because you're saying they're a death cult. Can you describe that for me? What do you mean by they're a death cult?
Death to America, death to Israel. And what's Israel want? Death to all. You know, one's got death to the infidels, basically, and the other one is death to everybody who essentially, as it's written, isn't holding the skirt of a Jew. In other words, you know, if they're not holding on to us, then they deserve to die. And so that's where the goyim come from, is the Talmud.
I don't see Iran as a death cult. I see them in some ways relatively primitive because some of the belief systems that they have. But I don't see them as a death cult. I think that they get a lot of blame for violence around the world by saying that they finance all of this, you know, Hezbollah and Hamas and all these other people.
Yeah, it's not just Hezbollah and Hamas. There's different groups down through Africa. You know, there's always been mass killing in Africa. And one tribe against another tribe. Well, you've got Sharia law military factions which are killing Christians in very brutal ways.
Yeah.
The Congo itself and the Chinese are involved in this too because they want the minerals. But from what I understand, Congo's had, over 2 million people killed in just the last few years because of this death cult. In the name of Allah or whoever they think they're praying to. And so you've got these two death cults, both backed by guess who? It takes you right back to those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not but are lying, who are brought before our feet to do obeisance. That's what the prophecy says. So while they're not totally destroyed, Babylon the Great is. We'll be covering more of this. We're going to cover this intensely next week. So because we've got a major player going on here, you know, it's kind of like all roads still lead to Rome, Washington, D.C., City of London, and the Vatican. And so, you know, a lot of people are surprised as hell that you got an American Pope. Well, yeah, he's a lefty and he's a buddy, you know, he's from the south side of Chicago. Whose will do you think he's doing? And, you know, then you've got the whole undercurrent. You want to know what the largest intelligence agency is on the planet? Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Hmm? Largest intelligence agency on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, plus what's going on within their neighborhoods. All of that information gets funneled back up. How many priests have you or of the religious clergy have you heard serving time in prison for child molestation?
How many millions of dollars have they paid out?
Billions of dollars. Now, here's another question. How many billions of dollars have they made just from the United States alone in resettling illegal aliens? The United States has paid religious organizations, the Catholic Church is number one, was it the Lutheran Church number two? It was one of the non-Catholic religions, but I forget which one was number two. But anyway, hey, number two is the first loser. But they paid, was it in 2023, I think it was, they paid the church just short of $1 billion in resettlement fees for the different Catholic organizations that were resettling these people that, you know, needed to find homes.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing, huh? Oh, when you look it into the transmigration of people that has happened around the world, especially Arabic people coming to Christian countries, That was all sponsored. Let's bomb the shit out of their countries and make them flee. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what Hitler did to the Jews in the Second World War. Well, let's just throw, you know, persecute them. We'll work them to death, and then we'll execute the rest because they won't move to Israel. Like the Balfour Agreement said they could. They wanted to stay here. Now we'll force them to move. And so then Israel becomes a state. But, you know, we showed that, that coin on this show, swastika on one side, Star of David on the other. I have to choke on that. David would be spinning in his grave if he saw, if he knew what they were calling that. So, yeah, David would, if King David were alive today, anybody wearing that star, he would put to death. Think about that. Because that's what he did when he was king. And even God said, "You got sorry, I know you want to build the temple, but you got too much blood on your hands, boy." But yeah, the people who wore that star, David killed. Think about that. Talk about a slap in the face, right? You we're dealing with a world run by psychopaths. And how do we survive that? By accurate knowledge, by using good judgment and discernment, and being prepared, but most of all, forming a personal relationship with our God and Father, Yahuwah, which is in our breath, or in English, Jehovah, which is also basically in our breath. So let's leave it on a positive note. We have a great future. We're going to hit a hell of a speed bump. And there's aliens that are involved. So that's future shows. You know, get too close to the truth. And once they don't have any use for you, it's like, bye-bye. Or just get too close to the truth. And that's it. You become a danger. You become a threat. Knowing the truth, knowing accurate truth, will save your life. Think about that. And with that, I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for joining us and indulging us tonight. I know we went a bit over. Hey, sometimes the spirit drives you in a certain direction. Riskell, I want to thank you also for joining in. You know, I like when we have a good interchange because you get the passion going and you hear that, you know, that energy starts to really flow as opposed to me just droning on. But I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic night and be prepared. Good night, everyone.